Chapter 10. We'll Unravel This World. The target was heading for side alleys, because of course he was. Ghouls on the run always loved heading more towards emptier areas, areas where they could run quicker and fight better. The pursuer just chuckled. His target had underestimated exactly what it was that was chasing him. Just as the target struck out into an old abandoned skate park, he leapt down from above. His kagune bloomed out across his shoulders like a fan, two long kokaku blades forming along his arms. The ghoul twisted, his own kokaku raising in defense. Their blades crashed, and the other ghoul danced back as his kagune fired small ivory spikes. And then they both had to duck away as partitions of an ice-blue quinqu whipped around the both of them. Lan Jingyi, he yelled in irritation, ducking back. I had this. What are you doing, young mistress? His teammate roared back, retracting his snake blade. I said wait. I wasn't listening. Guys, he's getting away. Ouyang Zichen sprinted behind them, swinging his axe-styled quinqu. The ghoul easily dodged it and kicked him straight into Jin Liang. Both teens went down with yelps. Their watches beeped. 5 minutes until dawn. And then dawn arrived 5 minutes early, in the form of two immense, flaming ukaku wings. The halo of fire crackled, and their target was immediately pinned down by a volley of shards. The entire group all slumped as their oldest member arrived.
You guys okay?
Lan Sichui asked, eyes wide, as he dropped between them, ever so slightly shrinking the kagune down from the flaming loop above his head, two little sparkles dancing out from both his shoulder blades. Jin Liang huffed, and his ukaku spiked up higher defensive. I had him! No, we had him. Lan Jingyi scowled at him, which you would have known if you hadn't switched off your earpiece. I wouldn't turn it off if the static wasn't so bad. It's like having someone crackle a chip packet in my ear. Oh, boo-hoo. The young mistress had to deal with something being substandard. Don't call me that! Come on now. Lan Sichui stepped between them, a trace warningly. Now is not the time for a fight. And I really thought we had it this time, too. Ouyang Zichen sighed in agreement, furling up his quinqu.
Young Master Ouyang is quite right.
They all winced. The lights came back on. Lian Feng Sun lightly stepped down to their spot. With a mechanical whir, his quinks unfurled, and the thin silver bikaku deftly broke through the ukaku shards, pinning the target ghoul to the wall. The ghoul, specially trained to avoid the very often lethal blows caused by these training sessions, nodded in thanks, sent them pitying looks, and then headed off to prepare for the next team.
It was certainly an impressive display,
Meng Yao began.
Did he just pause on us?
Lan Jingyi hissed in Ouyang Zichen's ear, and his friend nodded glumly.
Lan Jingyi, you cannot fling out a sword like that and hope it will hit something. A little more accuracy, please.
Yes, sir. Jin Liang, they're right. You cannot just turn off your communications. Out in the field, you would never be allowed such an act as it makes you hard to keep track of. Lan Sichui, too. You hesitated because you wanted your team to have a go. And in the real world, that would have been too late. You both took advantage of the fact that this was training to act in a manner that would violate protocol.
Yes, sir.
They both mumbled, equally red-faced, but with significantly different expressions.
As for Ouyang Zichen, your performance was exemplary. But this is a team. You won't achieve anything by not speaking out properly when you notice something is wrong.
I understand, he bowed.
The four of them paced on the spot, and he smiled gently at them.
Of course, it is only training, so mistakes are inevitable, just as long as we learn from them. Now,
It's early Sunday morning, and I'm sure the last thing you all want to do is hang around here. Why don't you all head home?
Yes, sir, they all grumbled, with various levels of enthusiasm, trekking out of the training room and off to the lockers. Jin Liang was particularly surly as he took off the shirt, with specially designed gaps for his kagune, replacing it with a brand new t-shirt.
Well, that sucked.
And whose fault is it?
Jingyi,
Lan Sichui called over to his cousin, before Jin Liang could get worked up again. He folded up his sweatshirt and carefully began to button up the top of his polo. Beside him, his two friends glared at each other on principle, before Lan Jingyi did up his jacket with a huff, and Jin Liang flicked his bleach blonde hair back up into a ponytail with a self-important sniff.
Forget graduating. At the rate we're going, we're going to lose to Jin Chan's team in the next competition,
their youngest muttered under his breath. Lan Jingyi snorted.
As if we'd have to be brain dead to lose to that bunch.
How are people feeling about breakfast?
Ouyang Zichen continued on, blissfully detached from the barbed gazes.
I'm craving some boba and bread.
Why?
Dunno, man. You know how it be.
Boba fucking sucks.
Jin Liang rolled his eyes, and Lan Jingyi elbowed him.
You wouldn't say that if your taste buds weren't whack.
My taste buds are fine. Yours are the whack ones.
Father probably wouldn't mind making more breakfast. Lan Sijui checked his phone. We could head to my place?
Yes! Give me Han Guanjun's cooking! Lan Jingyi crowed, flinging an arm around his cousin.
The four of them slung their sports bags over their shoulders and began walking towards the exit of the China Security Committee's training center.
Do you have anything to snack on?
Ouyang Zichen glanced over, and Lan Jingyi hummed and thought before rummaging in his bag.
Don't!
Jin Liang looked at him glumly.
Don't you dare!
Found him! Lan Jingyi produced a packet of chips and immediately cracked them open.
Jin Liang gagged.
You're eating dust. You're actually eating dust.
Is the young mistress jelly? Here, Zichen Xiong.
You guys are so disgusting.
Lan Sijui just rolled his eyes and waited for confirmation from his father as they headed for the light rail. Lan Sichui's place was a luxury studio apartment in Yilin on the third story. Generous donations over the past decade had grown what used to be a primarily warehouse and grungy ward into a trendier word-of-mouth district, full of fusion restaurants, bars, and shopping strips. Lan Sichui's father hadn't spared a cent on their house, located right in the heart of the ward's more upbeat features. Close to both the station and the enduring warehouse district stretching out along the side of the ward, so that none of them had to commute far.
Uncle Wei!
Jin Liang screeched as soon as Lan Sichui got the door open.
Uncle Wei! Lan Jingyi's oppressing me!
Oi! He is, huh? They all jumped as Wei Wuxian stuck out his head from...
Dad?
Lan Sichui asked nervously.
Why are you in the kitchen?
His dad's face fell into a pout.
Am I not allowed to get a glass of water anymore?
Yeesh! Anyway, where's the oppression?
Lan Jingyi's eating chips,
Jin Liang explained defiantly, even as he sent his uncle a very suspicious look. Wei Wuxian just grinned innocently and stepped out properly.
He waved them in my face!
Wei Wuxian visibly tried not to laugh, biting his lips. He wasn't the most subtle of people on the best of days, and now, still wearing his sweaty work shirt, his long hair half falling out of its ponytail, no jewelry save for a single stud and his wedding ring, and some very sus gunk leaving a purple trail on his neck,
He clearly had no interest in hiding his amusement. Jin Liang scowled, and the magic worked.
Right, yes. Jingyi, that is a bit rude.
Wei Wuxian inspected the chips before lightly snatching them out of Lan Jingyi's protesting hands.
Confiscated!
Don't. Jin Liang's face pinched. Don't you dare! Wei Wuxian winked at him and began eating the chips himself.
There's other snacks in the pantry if you want reimbursement.
Gross! Jin Liang screeched, shoving him angrily, as Lan Jingyi and Ouyang Zichen dashed past into the house.
Uncle, you're so disgusting!
Shoes off, Jingyi.
Lan Sichui reminded, and his friend huffed, nevertheless neatly taking them off and kicking them towards Wei Wuxian's own haphazardly discarded boots. Someone was already in the kitchen.
Welcome home, Sichui.
Hello, father. Sorry about bringing everyone over.
Lan Wangji gave him a slight nod and just continued to fry up an army's worth of scrambled eggs.
I'd imagine you kids would be wanting breakfast, yeah?
Wei Wuxian easily lifted himself up onto the kitchen island, legs swinging.
Was last night a success?
None of them answered, and they all heard the laughter desperately trying to escape his throat. Jin Liang scowled.
Like you could do any better.
Wei Wuxian smirked his way.
You wanna bet?
Wei Ying.
Lan Wangji caught his wrist, getting him to turn around.
Get off.
He wiped the gunk off his husband's neck as he spoke, and Wei Wuxian beamed down at him, whole body oozing fondness.
Sijui, would you remind your parents that the honeymoon's over?
Lan Jingyi snickered in his ear, and he went red.
You know how they are.
I think it's sweet.
Ouyang Zichen piped up. Lan Wangji's eyes drifted, ever so menacingly, over the lot of them. And they all hastened away. As Wei Wuxian slid down, they all dropped comfortably into the chairs around the dining table. A little too comfortably, if you were to ask Lan Sichui. Wasn't it about time they all chose someone else's place to mooch off of after a night training session? Still, they were never ungracious, and a chorus of cheers sounded as Lan Wangji placed a tray between them, bearing piles of scrambled eggs, toast, coffee, and breakfast G-cubes. Jin Liang and Lan Jingyi didn't waste time, the younger popping about 3 G-cubes into his mouth at once as the older shoveled the eggs and toast together, tokenly on his plate before shoving them into his mouth. Ouyang Zichen leant over into Lan Sichui's ear as he poured them both coffee.
How many of those are you guys meant to eat per meal?
1.
They watched as Jin Liang scooped up another 4 absently. Ouyang Zichen snickered.
Han Guanjun,
Lan Jingyi meanwhile spun around. Is there any chicken in the house? Lan Wangji looked down at him, from where he and Wei Wuxian had been murmuring whatever overly romantic things they murmured when they didn't quite care about their surroundings.
No killing of animals,
the man replied, a trace pointedly.
No talking whilst eating.
We're not in the cloud recesses,
Lan Jingyi defended himself, and Wei Wuxian snickered.
The answer, Jingyi, is that there is no chicken in the house because your Han Guanjun forgot to buy some. Ah, okay, Lan Chan, I'll stop talking. You need to get over this pinching.
No chicken.
Lan Jingyi was meanwhile mourning.
But this place is the only place I can get good fried chicken.
Sorry,
Ouyang Zichen winced. A lawyer and an investigator never really cared for cooking. Jin Liang, meanwhile, puffed.
My mother is one of the greatest cooks in this city. Why can you only get it here?
Yeah, but your fridge never has actual food in it. Lan Jingyi shot right back.
All right, you two.
Lan Sichui quickly intervened, as their youngest's face went all red and scrunched in the way it did when he was about to go on a verbal rampage.
We've already fought once today. I don't need another.
Mood, though?
Ouyang Zichen mumbled into his coffee. And Lan Suchui elbowed him irritably as the other two traitors snickered. Luckily enough, a middle finger sent the way of Lan Jingyi's pointed ignorance was enough to calm down the young ghoul. Enough for Wei Wuxian to swoop in and ruffle his blonde hair, picking at the dark roots beginning to show. So, what happened out there? He asked, chipperly ignoring his nephew's indignant screeching. Lan Suchui sighed. We all sort of collided. Communications crossed. What are you down in the dumps for, Suchui? Lan Jingyi whined. You did fine. Lian Feng Sun's gonna tell Zhu Jun and he'll be up in our asses tonight. Tonight? Lan Suchui frowned. His father glanced over from where he was washing up, from presumably his own breakfast.
The opera. We are attending the opening function.
Lan Suchui nodded in remembrance, as both Wei Wuxian and Jin Liang groaned.
Do we have to smooge for an hour?
Wei Wuxian grumbled, resting his chin down on his nephew's head. Lan Wengqi nodded, and his husband grumbled.
Do we even have to go?
Jin Liang tried to dislodge the man clinging to him. His uncle brightened up with a snicker.
Oh, you don't, but I imagine your dad might be up in your ass about it.
Jin Liang slowly tipped his head up, scowl growing.
What did you do? Nothing much.
Wei Ying.
Just made an itty-bitty bet.
Dad?
Okay, okay.
He rolled his eyes.
I made a bet with Jin Xixuan over whose kid was the most well-behaved, so he's definitely going to want you to come tonight.
You get off me, Jin Liang hissed. You smell like a lab anyway.
Oddly enough, since I was in one an hour ago.
Ugh, you're such a nerd.
Jin Liang downed the last of the coffee and stood up. Thanks for the food, Hong Guanjun. Lan Wangji nodded as the youngest grabbed his bag and sprinted out, sticking his tongue out at Wei Wuxian on the way back. Wei Wuxian scoffed as the door shut.
Little brat. Can't believe he's gonna be 15 soon.
Sidri's gonna be 17 sooner, Lan Jingyi pointed out around a mouthful of eggs. As he hurriedly swallowed them under Lan Wangji's stern gaze, Wei Wuxian's whole face screwed up.
No, I don't like that.
All three snorted, and Ouyang Zichen tidied up his own plate.
I should head home, too. Come on, Jingyi Xiang. Dad can give you a lift back to Gusu.
Lian Feng Sun's already told Zhou Jun, hasn't he?
The teen responded glumly, and Wei Wuxian reached out to clap him on the back.
He won't be mean about it.
Jingyi exhaled.
Chi Feng Sun, though.
Dad!
Lan Suchui rolled his eyes as his cousin went white. Wei Wuxian winked at him, waving at the two as they grabbed their bags and headed out of the door. Ouyang Zichen patting their now quietly praying friend on the shoulder. Lan Suchui sighed fondly.
In all seriousness, though, Dad, when did you get back from the lab?
He asked, a bit less joking, once the door shut. Wei Wuxian shrugged, pulling at his knotty hair.
Oh, you know, sometime.
Did you get to sleep? His dad shrugged again. They both turned as Lan Wangji arrived, hooking his arm around his husband's waist and pressing his lips against Wei Wuxian's neck.
Take a nap.
Ayo, Lan Chan, I'm not that lazy. I'll help you both clean up.
It's fine, really.
Lan Suchui nodded in agreement with his father.
You can sleep. We've got this.
Ayuan, so responsible.
Wei Wuxian dramatically declared, wrapping his boy up into a hug of his own.
Where did you get it from, huh?
Taking care of you?
Mm.
Both of you are absolutely unreasonable, insisting I take care of myself. He tutted, but kissed them both. Wake me up for lunch, kay? He wandered off down the hall, and soon the sounds of a shower started up.
Sojui, clear the table.
Right. He deftly brought over the empty plate and glasses as his father finished washing up. You're not upset we kind of failed?
It is only through failure that we learn our weaknesses.
Lan Wangji responded, in his usual state-of-the-matter way.
And it's not like the competition is steep.
Lan Sujui's head snapped up to see his father's usual serene expression, and he promptly burst into laughter. He spent the rest of the morning doing all the schoolwork that he never got time to do on Saturdays, tossing a snack cube into his mouth every so often. His dad slumbered away in the master bedroom, and he could hear the faint sounds of his father's guqin dancing out from his studio, testing new melodies to play for the kids in the CSC's care. He took a break at noon, heading down to find his father already setting the table.
Sojui, would you get the water glasses?
Okay. The doorbell rang, and they both turned. Lan Sujui moved without prompting, padding over and pulling the door ever so slightly open. And then he opened it fully. Hi, Uncle Huaisang. The door clicked behind him, likely his father going to wake up his dad. Nie Huaisang pushed up his shades and beamed. Hey there, little Sujui. May I? Of course. He stepped aside so the other could enter and beeline his way to the eclectic mess that was the main sitting room. Their home was an ode to the different tastes of his father's. Long, white, plush couches that Lan Wangji bought after spending 5 hours in furniture shops were intermingled with the old antique chairs and secondhand beanbags that Wei Wuxian spotted walking past an op show window. The coffee table was a custom-ordered Atreyu, and he set out the 4 felt coasters that Aunt Yun Li had made them as a housewarming gift. Nie Huaisang hummed appreciatively as he brewed and poured a pot of rose tea, another gift, this time from Lan Xichun. He was just sitting down when Lan Wangji returned, pulling a yawning Wei Wuxian behind him. He grinned lopsidedly. Hey, Huaisang Xiong. I thought you weren't going to be back until next week. Well, I was planning on it. The man fluttered a silk fan. But the expo peaked too early. All they had left barely counted as Eastern Han. And definitely not because your brother was pestering you? Nie Huaisang looked entirely unbothered. Wei Xiong, I've learned many things in my life. He wafted his hand over his face and gazed off at some rather ordinary part of their ceiling. And one of them is to not take my dear brother's pestering too seriously. But you don't mind pestering my brother? Nie Huaisang glanced down and immediately went to whack him with his fan. Lan Wangji caught the blow with an arched eyebrow, Wei Wuxian resting tight up against him with a giggle. And Nie Huaisang glanced away, huffing.
Your brother still wishes for your help with the CSC,
Lan Wangji put out, taking an elegant sip of tea, and Nie Huaisang rolled his eyes. Dear brother needs to understand that the formation of the CSC dropped the work demand and collated the minds of ghouls and investigators, and some of us who really weren't needed after the merge did not need to stick around in jobs our families had decided. He's already lectured you, hasn't he? Wei Wuxian grinned. Nie Huaisang reclined with folded legs. The world isn't the same as it was growing up. Not every member needs to get into the business. And really, what was Daga expecting after the Sunshot campaign? The family business was never that important to me. I know. Would you mind telling that to Ayuan instead? Lan Sujui chuckled a bit too tightly. I want to get my combat license. Oh, please,
Wei Wuxian took a sip of tea. They're not that useful.
Says the one who never got his.
Nie Huaisang replied pointedly, and Wei Wuxian stuck his tongue out in response. Lan Wangji patted his husband's head.
You are not coming tonight?
No, I saw it when I came through last year.
Nie Huaisang reached over.
So I came to bring these over before I forgot.
Aw, Huaisang Xiang, looking out for us, I see.
Wei Wuxian crooned as he pulled out an artisanal bottle of baijiu that his husband immediately looked at warily.
And I got this for you, little Sichui.
Thank you.
He inspected the jade. Was that a turtle? Camel? Pig? Nie Huaisang beamed at it.
Its aura was very you.
He nodded in vague appreciation as the man wafted back to his feet with a wave of his fan.
Well, I'll be off. Have to get some of these to Jinxiang and Jiangxiang.
Are you staying with him as well?
Wei Wuxian waggled his eyebrows, hiding behind his husband as Nie Huaisang glared at him.
Wei Ying.
All right, Lan Chan, if you insist.
Coffee next week?
Sounds lovely.
Nie Huaisang waved at them, fan all aflutter.
Goodbye, everyone.
They waited for the front door to swing shut.
So, like, who else desperately needs lunch now?
Lan Wangji drove them to the opera house, in the north of Lanling, right when the sun was setting. Wei Wuxian was still absently putting in his latest gold piece, an exquisite gold chain linking his septum piercing to his lowest right ear piercing, gifted to him by Lan Wangji on his last birthday.
Hey, Ayuan, he called over his shoulder. You sure you don't want a piercing for your 17th?
I'm good.
Wenqing's fantastic at it. Her needles go straight through.
No kagune near our son's head,
Lan Wangji reprimanded, and Lan Sujui snickered as his dad pulled a face.
Really, Dad, it's fine. I don't feel like it.
Wei Wuxian rolled his head sideways.
He gets it entirely from your side of the family.
Lan Wangji didn't bother to respond to that, and Wei Wuxian turned back.
Hey, Ayuan, mind searching up the plot for me?
There'll be programs there. They cost money.
I'll buy it for you,
Lan Wangji assured him, and Wei Wuxian swooned, as if their bank accounts weren't shared anyway. Lan Sujui just smiled as he pulled up WeChat. Jin Liying's family was already there, unsurprisingly, and their group was already filled with running complaints about various ghouls who had ties to old Jin, all coming up and telling him how cute he was. Young Mistress.
The best bit is how quickly they look back at Dad, like fuckers aren't even being subtle.
The Worst Vegetarian.
Dude, at least you can run away. I step 1 foot out of line, Teacher Lon's gonna slit my throat. I came down with just a half Windsor knot and he almost blew it.
Just run for Council Prez already.
Do not stress him out, Jingyi.
Romeo plus Juliet is overrated, TM.
Hey, guys, do you think they'll get mad if I bring my Switch? Operas are long. Distressed cow emoji.
Young Mistress.
Do it.
The Worst Vegetarian.
No? One of your grandmas will eat part of him in anger?
Young Mistress.
I know. It would be funny.
Sujui? He glanced up and quickly slipped his phone in his pocket as they pulled into the valet slip. Wei Wuxian hummed happily as he finished the last of his eyeliner just before they braked.
Lan Wangji nodded at the valet man as he glided out to hold the door open for his swooning husband.
Dad, be careful. Uncle Jiang could try to kill you again if you do that in front of him.
Lan Suchui warned, and his dad winked at him.
Oh, your Uncle Jiang cares more than he admits.
If my sister-in-law brought the twins, he will likely occupy himself with them.
Lan Wangji commented blandly, taking Wei Wuxian's arm as the three of them headed up into the private function wing of the theater.
Asian!
Jiang Yanli greeted them first, and Wei Wuxian caught the hug happily.
And little Sujui, too. Oh, you've grown since I last saw you.
What, 2 whole weeks ago? Jin Liying popped up at his mother's elbow, carrying one of his sisters, and his mother huffed, running a hand through his hair, before turning to hug her brother-in-law, positively dwarfed by the mighty white-suited man.
Took you long enough.
Jiang Cheng appeared behind him, scowl already in place. Sure enough, he was holding one of the twins, and impressively ignoring the toddler hands yanking on his hair. Wei Wuxian waved a hand his way.
Oh, lay off. Yilin's further away.
And the earth will blow up before you can ever be on time for something.
Oh, you know me so well.
Wei Wuxian kissed his niece's cheek before taking his husband's elbow.
Oh, look, uncle's here. Let's go say hi.
Is it bad that they don't tell you not to drink?
An arm slung itself across his shoulders.
I think Teacher Lan told me about 5 times.
Maybe he was worried it wouldn't get through your thick skull.
Jin Liying chirped, and the three moved to the side as Jiang Yanli and Jiang Cheng greeted the Lan party, Meng Yao and Niaming Tui and Tou with Lan Zichun. Zhou Jun caught them looking and winked. Lan Sichui excused himself from the pair to go over and give his uncle a hug.
I heard from Ai Yao about today. Oh, dear. You're getting very good at using your kagune, I hear. Oh, yes.
He glanced over and Meng Yao winked at him.
It's still a bit hard to control, but I'm getting better at keeping it contained. No small feat,
his uncle assured him. Voice soft and reassuring.
Not many ever mastered that kagune.
Thank you, uncle. He glanced back to the others.
May I excuse myself?
Go on. Lan Zichun grinned.
I'll keep the adults off your backs.
He smiled, bowed his head, and hurried back over to where his friends had been joined by Ouyang Zichun, who absolutely had a switch in that bag, and had somehow moved onto the topic of his dad's cooking, a topic presumably arisen from the finger food in Ouyang Zichun and Lan Jingyi's hands.
His cooking is a weapon more deadly than a kagune,
Jin Liying was insisting. How did he grow up with mum and still turn out like that?
Bitch, what are you complaining about?
Lan Jingyi turned to him. You are not the one who has to eat it. Jin Liying and Lan Sujui both turned to him, Jin Liying with a dead look in his eye, and one of minor trauma in Sujui's.
No, we do.
He experiments with chili seasoning all the time.
I thought Father would have stopped him by now.
Hongguan Jun doesn't stop Senior Wei from doing anything,
Ouyang Zichun pointed out rather accurately. And Lan Jingyi gave his cousin a pat on the shoulder for comfort.
Where's your dad at, anyway?
He directed at Jin Liying. The ghoul rolled his eyes.
Forming a one-man wall between this room and the media. Some fucking followed us here from home.
Yikes, Ouyang Zichun winced. You think it will settle down soon?
Yeah, once this whole bullshit with the Qin family gets settled.
Jin Liying rolled his eyes.
Adults are so useless.
Knowing the rant that such a comment would spark, Lan Sujui took a wise sidestep as the three began chit-chatting away, instead subtly pulling out his phone. He quickly poked himself into the Wen Tea group. Ah Yuan.
Are you guys not coming to the opera?
Wen Qing.
Are you kidding? I have work. Who has time for opera? Lazy assholes.
Wen Ying.
Sorry we can't make it, Ayuan. And don't mind your aunt. She had a bad day with interns.
Wen Qing.
I know where you live, Anying.
Granny.
Dear Ayuan, I hope you enjoy yourself, dear. Love, Granny.
He quickly responded in kind, just before the bells went off, and hands were appearing at his shoulder. Status green? His dad grinned, and he nodded. Remind me to get Granny a present sometime soon.
Very well.
Lan Wengqi stepped in before Wei Wuxian could even open his mouth. His husband shrugged. Anyway, I think this has been enough to fill your father's socializing quota for the next week. So will you be ready for a quick skedaddle once this ends?
Sounds good to me.
The three of them joined, the whole clouds of them heading for the private boxes.
I'm probably going to want to go to sleep pretty soon after.
Yes, that sounds like it'd be wonderful. Wei Wuxian chirped, slightly too happily. Lan Sujui stared over at him.
Dad, did you remember to do the dishes?
No.
Did you empty the dishwasher?
Nope.
Did you even clear up the table from lunch?
Wei Wuxian grinned lopsidedly at him.
Young man, why are you asking questions you already know the answer to?
Lan Sujui just sighed and turned to his father for help. As they sat down, he watched Lan Wangqi stare at Wei Wuxian, absolutely besotted, and knew he'd get no help from that party. He sat down with a faint sigh and resolved to at least enjoy the music before he went home to tidy up. The opera was indeed very nice and very long, and Lan Sujui could only chuckle as he spotted Ouyang Zichen and Jin Liying painstakingly arranging their suit jackets to hide the Mario Kart light. There was a particularly terrifying moment when Mistress Jin glanced back to check on her grandchildren, and the switch had to be dropped during a sound-drowning high note from the singer on stage, right before her Kakugan could spy it. But it escaped, luckily, without a scratch. Most of the grandparents' generation, however, were fully enjoying the opera, gossiping in each other's ears when they thought the music was loud enough to cover it. And it wasn't hard to guess which group had decided on this family outing. Lan Sujui would probably find it more engaging if he didn't have to fiddle with his earbuds every 5 minutes, provided to all the ghouls in attendance to keep the speakers from blasting out their eardrums. Though he did smile when one of Jin Liying's younger sisters bared her teeth at him, clearly deciding whether or not to try and bite through Jiang Cheng's expensive jacket. Uncle Lan and his two partners were together, one or both nudging Nie Ming Tui whenever the head resting on his fist began to drop slightly. Jiang Yan Li straightened her husband's shirt and murmured something in his ear that had him going bright red. And in the far back of the booth, completely ignoring the singing, his dad was pressed up next to his father, trailing kisses along his neck and collarbone. And whilst the looks on his father's face were typically considered impossible to read, Lan Sujui knew that the opera was currently the furthest thing from his father's mind. The Twister in Bed myth had been shattered along with his innocence when he was 14, and he still hadn't quite recovered from the knowledge that, yeah, parents have sex. Hey, Lan Jingyi mumbled in his ear. Wanna make a bet?
Gambling is forbidden, he murmured back, and his cousin pulled a face.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, who's gonna break first, Han Guanjun or Teacher Lan?
Focus on the music, Jingyi, he responded primly.
And internally, he smiled when his father did break first, turning and properly pulling his dad into his arms to kiss him deeply.
Lan Wangji ended up carrying Wei Wuxian back from the car to their home, supporting the one-eyed ghoul in his arms. Wei Wuxian himself was mumbling sweet nothings into his husband's ear, and Lan Suchui resisted the urge to take photos of the oh-so-terrifying Han Guanjun visibly preening. He opened the door for them and made for the kitchen, his dad's laziness evident in the sink.
Lan-chan, makeup off?
We're going to the bathroom now, Wei Ying.
His father shot him a glance, and he held up a thumbs up, turning on the tap. Later, as he was just finished washing up the dishes, Lan Sujui watched his father return, husbandless, his shoulder-length hair pulled back in a small ponytail.
Father, did you get new earrings?
Lan Wangji paused before nodding simply, and Lan Suchui beamed, dipping his head to see the gold sun and moon pinned against his earlobes.
They're lovely.
Aren't they, though?
Wei Wuxian appeared at his husband's shoulder, tucking back a lock of hair to inspect them. I took him to one of my favorite shops. I've been meaning to take him there for years. Lan Wangji dipped his head back to press a kiss against Wei Wuxian's nose.
Wei Ying has good taste.
Of course I do. I married you, after all.
Yes, out of the two of you, it's father who has bad taste.
Lan Sujui inputted sweetly, and his dad spluttered. He walked past them both, heading for the TV.
I'm going to watch a movie until I go to sleep. Are you two going to join me?
Yes? What sort of question is that? I feel like...
Sujui picks.
Yes, 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 of course.
His parents curled up together on the long couch as Lan Sujui flicked through options for a rom-com Lan Jingyi had recommended to him. He turned and inspected the solid block that was his parents.
Can I fit?
I reckon so. You're not that big. Wei Wuxian scooted over, grinning, and holding open his arms. Beside him, Lan Wangji did likewise, an open invitation for him to snuggle in between them as the movie began playing. So he did. Their arms wrapped around him, and all three snuggled in close, Lan Wangji absently reaching back to turn off the huge standing light beside the couch, whilst one of Wei Wuxian's rinkaku tendrils reached all the way back for the overhead light switch. There was nothing stopping them, after all. The end.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening. The music used in this podfic is Licht und Schatten by Yutaka Yamada, which is one of the openings or closings to Tokyo Ghoul. Author's notes. Alternate chapter name for chapter 2. Lan Wangji tries to investigate, but Wei Wuxian is too pretty. The biggest challenge? Writing Jiang Wanyin over and over. Me,
What could make powerful people willfully ignore dangerous people and clans?
Me.
Oh, right.
Money.
70 yuan is about $10.
Jiang Cheng, it's a banana. How much could it be worth? $10?
Wei Wuxian has a bad habit of eating human food in front of ghouls who have irritated him because he knows it grosses them out.
JC has circulated the news of Wei Wuxian's stalker.
My poor suffering brain.
Don't you hate writing action?
Me.
Yes! My brain.
So, why did we go with the Tokyo Ghoul, aka Action series crossover?
Me.
Pretty Kagune?
Alternate chapter title for chapter 5. What the fuck is all of this exposition?
Me.
Wow, the acronym of the Stygian Tiger Seal sounds like a drug.
Me.
Softly gasps. Also, you heard it here, folks. LWJ is definitely not catching feelings. I am playing hard and fast with the artificial ghoul creation process here, but you cannot tell me that a body that has limbs that can instantly generate and disintegrate wouldn't decompose super fast. And no way could human stomachs deal with routine cannibalism. So this is how it will be!
Teenage Jin Sichuan. A mutated Ukaku is weak.
Jiang Yan Li.
Spite activated.
Mo Xuan Yu.
You didn't tell me they were dating!
Wen Qing.
It's sort of obvious.
Sui Yang.
Seriously, how did you not know?
Wei Wuxian.
Why does Jiang Cheng have so many soaps?
Jiang Cheng. Mind your own business, Wei Wuxian.
Let the Lan brothers comfort hug.
Brain. Are you really going to break limited perspective just to prove that Wang Xian should never be trusted with their own romance?
Me.
Yes. Absolutely.
Fun fact, Wei Wuxian does not smell like a ghoul, so dogs don't know to leave him the fuck alone. Jiang Cheng does smell like a ghoul, so he also suffers, but for the opposite reason.
Autocorrect.
Switches Sandu to Sandy.
Me.
Jin Sichuan.
I am going to find a way to use my wealth to ferment coffee beans, because a double espresso is not strong enough to deal with this bullshit.
If anyone remembers me complaining about writing action beforehand, then this is the chapter that kind of took a sledgehammer and was like, don't you hate writing action, you fool?
I do. I am a fool.
Also, upon starting the edit, I realized I had written the prince crowned in gold as the prince crowned in ghoul for half of this and had to change them all. Ha ha!
Jiang Fengmian.
So what will I be doing?
Madame Yu.
You'll distract Jing Guangshan.
Zheng Fengmian, disappointed.
Oh.
If any of y'all have seen the opening scene of Coraline, then Wen Qing's kagune is that but more fingers. Who's ready for more made-up science? My premise is that every kagune is basically an exposed muscle, pure RC cells and nerves. However, to get the amount of control over it that they do, ghouls must essentially have the same density of nerves in kagune that humans do have in their tongues. That's a lot of touch feedback from a muscle the size of, and often bigger than,
a regular limb. Add on Rinkaku ghouls having multiple, and you can imagine it becomes pretty overloading to the brain. Hence, Wei Wuxian, fully unleashed, is kind of literally scatterbrained. He's getting too much physical feedback to cognitively interpret and respond in any meaningful fashion. Hence, a bit of berserker rage is manifested. All exam stress you witness above has been, sadly, adapted from real-life footage. Lan Zichun, Niaming Tui, Niaming Yao, having their whole thing. Lan Wengji straight up staring at his phone. Is it rude if... One of my absolutely favorite headcanons is that if Zheng Yanli and Jin Zixuan had lived, Jin Liying would have so many siblings. Like, give the boy adorable little sisters who love him. God, it's so wholesome. Clench his fist. And, in what is perhaps a reverse Uno move, the title was original. But you can sure as hell bet that all of the chapter titles are just altered English lyrics of Unraveled, Tokyo Ghoul's first opening. Reader's note. I am recording chapter 2 and have gotten to the word quinkyu again. And just like when I got there in the first chapter, I am just beyond frustrated. And not at that word and not at anything except for the, like, okay, so to back up and explain, when I first got into Modazusha fandom, I found the Mandarin words really, really hard, like all of the names and stuff. And I knew personally, a big part of that was that I couldn't read them. And I don't mean like couldn't read the actual Chinese characters or anything. I mean like the pinyin version of them that is written with Latin characters. I couldn't translate the Latin characters in my brain to the sort of phonemes that they are, the sound sets that they portray. It was really hard. And I mean, honestly, I still don't have it. Like, even without tones, like, my phonemes, I'm still working on the different ch sounds. And I think I've got a bunch of them, at least semi-close. And by semi-close, I mean that I'm not entirely butchering them. Like, I might be understandable. In any case, I've been working pretty hard on that. And the other thing that I've been working really hard on that I figured would come in time and was the most frustrating thing is that I couldn't read it. Like, I would come upon every Mandarin word, name, whatever, and I couldn't just read it and know what sounds I was supposed to make for those particular letters. This is the same problem that I have with anytime Russian is written with Latin characters. I mean, if Russian is written in Cyrillic, I can't read it at all. So, you know, I have this problem a little bit with French. It's extra frustrating with French because I should know with French. It's just gotten so buried under everything else in my brain. But yeah, like this was the big problem. It's something, the reading bit is something that I'm actually really proud of with my recording with Japanese stuff. Like if I come across a word, a Japanese word, mostly a name, if I'm recording, I can generally sound it out, basically, figure out how I'm supposed to pronounce it just from reading it. I've got the sort of phoneme letter
combos, like they've made the connection in my brain. Anyway, I have finally gotten to the point where I'm kind of, maybe, sort of, vaguely able to do this with Mandarin, which I'm very proud of. Yeah, I look at Mandarin words and I can, I mean, definitely not 100% know how to pronounce things. I still mess things up. I still have a pronunciation guide open when I record and a, I actually have two pronunciation guides. One that's the, like, fandom specific of names and stuff. And one that's a pinyin chart so that if I come across a word that's not in, that's not fandom specific, that's just a Mandarin word, I can sort of like sound it out, which isn't the best, but also it's better than just like randomly Googling it, I think, maybe. And in any case, it's not terrible. The point of this whole rant is that I have finally gotten to the point that I feel semi-confident about sounding out words in Mandarin. Semi-confident, mind you. Sounding out words in Mandarin. And I have gotten to the point where definitely when I'm reading in Modazusha fandom, I expect letters to act specific ways if it's not an English word. Cue Tokyo Ghoul fandom, where now I come across the word quinque, which has the Q at the beginning and a Q in the middle, and it looks, at first glance, when you're just reading along, if you haven't been part of Tokyo Ghoul fandom, it looks like a Mandarin word to me. Like, I mean, I am aware it is not a Mandarin word and it doesn't act like a Mandarin word, and it probably the phonemes in there don't even make sense as a Mandarin word. But like all of the cues just kind of, my brain has started reading that as a ch sound. So every time I come across the word quinque, I want to pronounce it. Where is it? Where is it on the page right now? Like, chinqua, I think would be the way that my brain wants to pronounce it. And it's just, oh. And now, like, so every time I see it, I have to stop and go, well, crud, how do I pronounce a Q in Latin again? And it's just a mess. This, I mean, as a pronunciation thing, recording this fic is kind of a mess because I have the Mandarin, which I am still very shaky on and I'm trying my hardest. So all of the character names and everything are in Mandarin, and they use the Mandarin phoneme set. And then the, I mean, obviously, most of it is in English, so that uses the English phoneme set. And then we have a whole bunch of words that are from the Tokyo Ghoul fandom, which use the Japanese phoneme set. And then you throw in a fucking quinque, which has to be like Latin or something, because that's not a word that's Japanese for sure, and it's not, like, it's from Tokyo Ghoul, so it's probably not Mandarin, which means it's probably Latin or French or something. And just, oh my gosh. Anyway, so if you noticed a bunch of shoddy cuts around the word quinque, that is what it is. And just, I love this fic. I love it a lot. The pronunciation woes are kind of trying. Jiang Wanyin was glaring Wei Wuxian down with all the levels of menace that made Lan Wangji want his ching.
Oh my gosh. This is the worst. This is the worst because I'm pretty sure this is Queen Q. Because that is like either a Latin or, oh. Suddenly dog losing their shit. Or possibly a goose, though it's not goose season anymore. If it was goose season, I would assume it was a goose losing its shit. And I know I said that I didn't think I was going to record the next one right now, but what if...